Hello. Yes, I am very nervous, so I need you all to pray for me. I was kind of like the kid in school that would hide so the teacher didn't call on him to answer a question, even if I knew the answer. I did not want to be called on. So I know that we already prayed, but I think we'll start this off with prayer, if you wouldn't mind. Precious Heavenly Father, we do come to you. What a privilege it is, dear Lord, to be here before these young people, dear God. We just pray that you'll calm our nervousness, dear God. Help us to give the words to say. Just help us to be a blessing to those in attendance, dear God. We just pray you'll bless each one in attendance, and we'll surely thank you. We'll praise you, and we'll give you all the glory. Amen. Tonight, I just kind of like to talk to you a little bit about my life and my life before I was saved and my life after I was saved. And, you know, I feel that after I was saved that I got a brand new heart. So that's kind of what I'm going to talk to you tonight about, my brand new heart, before I got my heart and after I got my brand new heart. And I would like to start with some scripture in Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And you know, he doesn't just cover up that old heart. He actually gives us a new heart. And I am so thankful for that today.
Right.
I'll tell you a little about my life before salvation. I wasn't raised in a godly home. There was never a Bible or anything out that we could read. I think we all believed in God, and we were sent to Sunday school, but my parents never went to church, and I never heard them talk about God. So it was kind of a godless life. You know, we went to Sunday school and Bible school, and we sang all the little songs that, you know, the little ones here sing, but didn't know God personally, didn't have a clue that you had to have a personal life with God. And so then after, you know, I got married and started raising my children, you know, we kind of lived the same way because that's the way I lived. I went to church. I took my kids to Sunday school. But, you know, there was just nothing there. At the church I attended, there was never any talk of salvation or that you had to really change your life, that God could change your life into something much greater than I was. And so that's kind of like how I raised my children then, without God, a personal relationship with God. We believed in God, but we know it takes more than believing in God.
So
our home life was not very good. Obviously, if you don't have God in your home, it's not going to be good. My husband was an alcoholic, and things would get pretty bad sometimes. My children grew up in a home that was filled with turmoil and arguing, and just sometimes it was awful. So I continued, though, to go to church, and I continued to pray for my husband, and you know how you do, because you believe in God. You believe he's there, and you believe he's going to help you. But in the back of my mind, I always knew there was more. There was something more. I was yearning for something more. The situation at home was bad, and, you know, it wasn't getting any better. It was just getting worse. So I knew that there had to be something out there that was better than what we had. I think my heart began to yearn for something, and to seek out things. And I started listening to a lot of Christian music, contemporary Christian music. And one day I was telling Jerry Lynn about a song I was listening to, and she said, "Oh, mother," she said, "you need some Church of God music." And of course, Jerry Lynn was already saved at that time. And so she sent me some tapes of the Church of God music. And the first, I believe the first song I heard on that tape was "I Am Redeemed." And I listened to the whole thing and I thought, I want this. This is what I want. So I started coming in 1999. I believe, if I remember right, Jerry Lynn probably invited me down to a revival or something. I'm not sure. But the first time I came, Brother Brooks was preaching. And whoa. You know, if you've ever heard Brother Brooks preach, you know how he's preaching. And I thought, wow, can this really be? I think it was like a heavenly vision, or I can't remember his message, but something on heaven. And I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I want this. And so I kept coming as often as I could. I wasn't real faithful. My husband gave me a hard time about coming. He couldn't understand. Of course, nobody could understand why I chose to drive an hour to church and an hour back home. You know, they would say, oh, we've got churches around here. Why do you have to drive an hour to go to church? And I'm like, well, right now, I believe that's where God's leading me, and I believe that's where the truth is. And so I continued to come, and I continued to learn and listen, and I continued to watch the saints here. And, you know, it all just started to come together. Finally, in 2003, I had come down here, and I believe with Jerry Lynn again. And right here, I'm just going to stop and say, thank God for my daughter that continued on a godly path and prayed for me and never gave up on me. And so I just want to kind of stick that in there right now. But in 2003, and I don't know if it was a camp meeting night, I don't know if it was a revival night, and I don't even remember who preached that night. But I know that I was under conviction. I was under deep conviction. And when the altar call came and we stood up for that, and you know, I'm just like shaking. I'm shaking, and I could not let go of the back of my seat. And I just thought, you know, Lord, I need your help. I need your help, because I felt like I was glued to the floor. So finally, I think the Lord was able to get a hold of me and tell me that I needed to go to the altar. And I grabbed Jerry Lynn, and down we went. So that's the night I gave the Lord my heart, and that's the night that he gave me that new heart. And from then on, nothing was the same. And I'm not going to say that everything was just, you know, great after that. You know, there's a lot of things you have to go through, because the devil starts hitting you like right away. You know, when you change kingdoms, he's going to come at you with both barrels. My husband was very angry. You know, I had just changed, you know, as this different person. So he didn't like it. And he didn't want me to come to church. But I just kept coming. I just kept coming. And I told him, I said, I am going to go. And so I did. And just kept praying for him. I just kept praying for him. I'm like, Lord, whatever it takes, my husband needs salvation. Thank you, dear. Whatever it takes, dear God, you know, we got to get him saved. And not knowing that when you pray, whatever it takes, you better be ready to accept whatever it takes. Because you've already asked God whatever it takes. So it took a stroke. My husband had a bad stroke. And I'm like, oh Lord, I didn't know this was going to happen, but it was the best thing that could have ever happened. When my husband came around after the stroke and was able to get around a little bit and do some things, he had smoked very heavily before. He had, of course, drank heavily before. And after his stroke, he did not remember that he smoked. He did not remember that he drank. He had forgotten, like, all the bad things in his life. And I know that was just God. And that was a miracle. That was a miracle. He didn't come to church with me right away, but I just kind of, you know, kept going. And one Sunday, and I believe it was Easter Sunday. And no, it was the day before Easter Sunday. And he was asking me questions, and he was like, why do you go to church down there? And I said, well, that's where the truth is. And I said, that's where God has led me. And, you know, I've really been blessed because I, you know, have not given up. And he said, well, I'm sure glad you didn't give up. And he asked me if he could go to church with me on Sunday. So he started coming to church with me. And I think, if I remember right, it was about a year after he started coming that he got saved, and gloriously saved. Then from then on, all he wanted to do was be in church. Every day he would ask me, is there church today? And I mean, his mind was okay, but there were certain things that he would forget. So he would ask me every day, is there church today? So we started coming, even when we lived an hour away, we would come on Sundays. I don't think we came Sunday night, I'm not sure. But, you know, we tried to get here whenever we could. And he just, to me, that from the, just for my perseverance and hanging in there, and God said, don't give up. You know, just keep going, keep pressing on. And I guess that's what I would like to say to all of you today, tonight, is, you know, I felt like giving up so many times because I thought, is this worth it? Is it worth it, Lord? I don't see any difference in anybody. But you know, he told me that it was worth it. And he said, keep pressing on. And as I pressed on, the results were that my husband got saved. So I would just like to read in Job 23, 10 and 11. This was a scripture that gave me hope and gave me strength in times when I felt like quitting. And but he knoweth, no wait, 23, yeah, 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. So if we're faithful to God, he's going to be faithful to us. And I just thank the Lord today for who I am today, with this new heart that I love. It changes your life. It's not just a heart change. It's a life change. It changes the way you want to live, the way you want to look, the way you talk. And I am just so thankful that the Lord had mercy and didn't give up on me. I don't know what he saw in me. You know, very unworthy out there in sin. Could have been taken out at any time. But he was very merciful to me, and I want to thank him for that. So I just want to tell you, my greatest desire is to be what the Lord would have me to be. I want to walk in his steps. I want to do everything that he has for me. Whatever he's created me to be, that's what I want to be. And I just ask that you don't give up when the times are hard, because you all, a lot of you were raised here in this church. And so you are privileged and you are blessed. You don't know how blessed you are. You know, you always say, or at least I do, if I could go back and have a do-over, God, if I could go back and have a do-over, I would do things so different. But, you know, that's not possible. So we have to go on. And so I'm going to try my very best, with God's help, to be the very best I can and show my family that. I think when I first started, I think my family thought, oh, she'll do this for a couple weeks and then she'll be out, she'll be home. But no, that didn't happen. With God's grace, we can do anything. So I'm just asking that you just stay in there, hang in there. God knows all about it, and he has a perfect plan for your life. We can all take comfort knowing that God's plan is bigger and better than ours. If you would, as I close, I would just like to read Psalms 18, 30. Oh, I did. Did I read that already? No, I didn't, did I? Okay. All right. I'll read it again. All right. Psalms 18, 30 through 32. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? So he can give us that strength. His again, his ways are perfect. I know sometimes it's hard to see what God has for us. But I know if you stay in there, I know God has a blessing for each and every one of you.